for security? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right, everybody, welcome to the party. Today is Monday, March 11th, 3/11, if you're into that, 2024. Welcome to episode number 575 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Briefing. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher, coming in hot after a weekend of R&R. And over the next 45 minutes, me, Jeff Watala, Matthew Pelkey, Kimberly Can Fix It, Jesse Johnson in the developing room, Nerman Zlatvanovich, DJ Manny, Olesen, De Niro, all those folks over on LinkedIn who are not getting notified that we are live right now. That's a problem I'm working with. Mark Lester in the Low Country, Marcus Kyler in Detroit Rock City, and everybody all over the place. We're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner, or if you're looking to break into the industry. You're going to get value from the stream. I promise you, you're going to be asked in any single job interview for cybersecurity. Obviously, how do you stay current on the industry? This right here is a banger of an answer. Also, what's up, Team SC? Look at the chat going wild. Say what's up in chat. The networking is phenomenal. Believe me, supportive, inclusive community. It's all about good times. Just as a reminder, I do not prep or research for any of these stories. So you're getting my rough, rugged, raw opinion on these stories as it comes out, just like we're at the water cooler having a cup of coffee before we get into the workday. Now, before I get into the stream, before I start face melting, I want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors, starting with my good friend Eric Taylor and the crew over at Barricade Cyber Solutions. Barricade Cyber Solutions is, hold on, I gotta get the readout. Hold on. Barricade Cyber Solutions. You guys know the read. Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks can cause massive issues for businesses and send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil. But guess what? Barricade Cyber Solutions, they know exactly how to mitigate the damage done. They know exactly how to yeet threat actors out the environment. They know exactly how to help your business get back up and running. Check them out at barricadecyber.com. Links in the description below. Also want to say shout out and love to Panopsi Security. Panopsi, Brandon Poole, the team over at Panopsi. Get a partner who understands your cyber program and your business goals. GRC is all about enabling the business and interfacing with the business. But you might not know how to do it. Maybe you're a hardcore techo who's like, listen, get out of my way, business. I got threats to mitigate. Well, check out Panopsi Security. They can help you engage with the business, whether it's something tactical, like an information security awareness program that actually modifies end user behavior, or something more strategic, like an FY25 roadmap on how to go from where you are to where you want to be. Thinking of profiles, NIST, CSF, I see you. Panopsi Security can help you no matter what your needs are. Go to panopsi.com and check them out. Links in the description below. Panopsi emote coming soon. I know Jess Bishop and the crew have been asking for Panopsi emote. I got news for you. It's coming very soon, okay? Also, shout out to Anti-Siphon, but more about these beautiful babies and the conference they have coming up and the training they have next week. They got a lot going on, guys. You're going to love it, okay? So... shout out and more about them at the mid-roll. Now, I want you to know that every single episode of this Daily Cyber Threat Brief, just like this one, is worth half a CPE. So don't be shy. Say what's up in chat. Hashtag Team SC. and take a screenshot and file it away. And once a year when you have to count up your CPEs, just lick your finger like you're going to be counting out hundos, right? And just count off the number of files you got. Oh, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Boom. That's how many CPEs you got. Divide by 2. It's a half a CPE each. Trust me, guys. If you're new to the cert industry, right, like you just got your SEC Plus, congratulations. Whatever it is, CPEs are really a burden if you don't have a really cool option to get CPEs. And this, I'm telling you, I know it's totally biased, but this is a cool option for CPEs. Believe that. Oh, my God. NIST CSF 2.0 video coming out soon. The editors are kind of dragging their feet, but more about that. If it is your first episode of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief, please drop a hashtag Team S... A hashtag first timer in chat. Hashtag first timer in chat. If this is your first episode, we love welcoming our newcomers. And stay tuned to Jawjacking. Ask me if you remember. Chris Young, you're always good at reminding me. Ask me about some of the stream upgrades, OBS, DJBSec. Drop it, really pushing the fold and inspiring myself and Eric Taylor to have a better stream. So stay tuned for that at the mid-roll. All right, guys. But as fun as it is, we got work to do. Wah, wah, wah. Welcome to Monday. Sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over us in an awesome wave. I'll see you at the mid-roll.
From the CISO series, it's Cybersecurity Headlines.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Monday, March 11th, 2024. I'm Steve Prentice. Microsoft says Russian hackers breached its systems and accessed source code. The breach is a result of the January cyber attack by the hacking group Midnight Blizzard, also known as Nobelium, in which corporate email servers were penetrated through a password spraying attack. On Friday, Microsoft posted a blog that stated that they have seen evidence that Midnight Blizzard is using the exfiltrated information to access some of the company's source code repositories and internal systems. They add, quote, "To date, we have found no evidence that Microsoft-hosted customer-facing systems have been compromised," end quote. According to Bleeping Computer, while Microsoft has not fully explained what may have been accessed, they are likely authentication tokens, API keys, or credentials.
All right. Hold on 1 second. So this is Microsoft threat actor nomenclature. China is like ocean storms. So Blizzard, threat actor, Midnight Blizzard. I think Blizzard might be Russian. Who is Midnight Blizzard? Yeah, it's Russian state sponsor. Okay. So, as predicted, or as expected, Russia's all up in Microsoft's internal systems and code repositories. If I had to guess, guys, you know, as we're getting closer and closer to elections in 2024, Russia's very, very good at disinformation and misinformation campaigns, as well as like next level threat actor hacking. Go look at SolarWinds, which is, in my opinion, the single most sophisticated, most elegant, most, you know, capstone project at threatactoracademy.com there is. And that was Russia, specifically this particular group inside of the Russian space. So if they want to get into Microsoft, they're going to get in. But this is not the ends to the mean. This isn't the ends, right? They're not petty thugs who are just trying to get, tokens so they can steal, a couple bucks out of your thing. This is a much more, in my opinion, a much more deliberate setup for a longer term engagement, right? Like they're getting the tokens, they're getting MFA, they're getting in the emails or whatever with the intent of doing something larger. If I had to guess, right? So this is borderline tinfoil hat, but based on all of the prior experiences that I've seen with this group, they don't do like small hacks. Okay. They're not setting up a lemonade stand on the corner. They're setting up a food truck. All right. Very silly metaphor, but you hear what I'm saying. Definitely cool that Microsoft caught them. And saw them exfiltrating information as well. So we have some indicators of what they were going for. And companies' source code repositories. Again, here's the thing. When you have, and you should remember this whenever you're hearing the news that a software company's software got compromised that is not open source. When you have the talent and you have the capability, and with AI, frankly, you can do it. You can search source code and look for exploitable flaws, right? So with IDA, you can decompile or disassemble a binary and look for, you know, use after free bugs or double fetch or buffer overflows and stuff like that. But when you have the source code, you can do it a lot easier and a lot faster. You can also find things that are commented out, undocumented functions, right? Like, just because the source code says, oh, here's a list of the available APIs, that doesn't mean that that's exclusively what's there. A lot of developers are human. Sometimes they'll write API functions or code and it won't get picked up for production, right? Like, oh, it was like my little pet project I was working on, but it never really came to fruition. But you didn't comment it out or delete it out, right? Because you wanted to come back to it one day. That's in the source code, right? A disassembled version of the binary is not going to have that because it doesn't capture, a lot of times, compilers, like, without getting too nerdy here in the computer science space, compilers will take the source code and then compile it to run in an optimized fashion, which means it will eliminate a bunch of unnecessary stuff, right? Like, say you have some function and you've written it in a really sloppy, like, way that's not, you know, optimized. A compiler will optimize it, right? So that's why when you disassemble it, it doesn't look exactly the same as it did as the source code. So if you get the source, long story short, if you get the source code, you have way more visibility into exploitable opportunities if you are sophisticated enough to read source code and find software exploitation, which Cozy Bear is. So way to go, Microsoft. This is, you know, this isn't alarming because, you know, they do this stuff all the time. What I find, final thought on this, what I do find remarkable is that in 2024, Russia can actively attack a private sector big tech company in the United States. And it's not even front page news. It's news for cyber people, right? Like, think about that. In 1950, if Microsoft had breached IBM, we would be at like DEFCON 2, like red alert, like the lights dim down and you just see like the red siren light going off. And here it's like, did you guys catch that game? Like, what are we doing here? It's so normalized. It's crazy.
Visa adds JetBrains Team Citibug to its KEV catalog. Following up on another ongoing story, CISA has now added the vulnerability to its KEV catalog after researchers at Rapid7 identified two new vulnerabilities in JetBrains Team City on-premises. These are being tracked as CVE-2024-27198 and 199. These vulnerabilities may provide threat actors with HTTPS access to a Team City server to gain administrative control of that server. JetBrains has released a security patch plugin for those customers who are unable to patch their systems.
All right. So a couple things. One, if you're running JetBrains, which I think is a WordPress plugin, if I'm not mistaken, or you're running Team City, which again, I think is a WordPress plugin. I'm not 100% certain on that, but it is a 9.8 vulnerability. When you see CVSS score 9.8, what you should immediately think of is this is exploitable. It's really gnarly. It can be exploited from the internet. It gives high level of permissions, like take over the server, but it's not actively being exploited in the wild. That's what a 9.8 typically means. If you see 10.0, it means all the nasty stuff I just said, and as if it wasn't already really bad, it means it's actively being exploited. It doesn't go higher than 10. So if you're running JetBrains Team City, you gotta patch it. Also, if you don't know if you're running this in your environment because you have end users who who set up unmanaged infrastructure, aka Shadow IT, aka Carl. Carl, if you're a first timer here, Carl is our, you know, end user persona that we just point to have a name that we can throw down. Carl may have set up a Team City server for whatever reason. I don't even know what Team City does, but you got to scan, use a vulnerability scanner, scan your environment, look for instances and technologies that are not approved or that you don't know about, and then follow the wiring, right? Find the IP address, find what network segment it's on, go down the hall, kick in the door like you're law enforcement and shut it down. You got to shut it down like John Taffer, okay? One other thing that I'll share with this one that I don't talk about all the time. CISA, CISA, Our Lady of Cybersecurity, Jen Easterly, and all the good that she does. Let me give Jen a little shout out. We do have a Jen Easterly emote. Jen, I know you're watching. Hashtag passive observer. Jen Easterly. CISA has this known exploited vulnerabilities catalog, which is absolutely phenomenal. This, I know you can't really see it on stream because it's cut off, but basically, I'm going to drop a link in chat. This is super dope, okay? This is super dope. Here's the reality, okay? Let me take you guys to gather around the campfire, children. Like old Graybeard here has got something to share for you. Here's the reality, okay? Oh, that looks terrible. Look how that's clipped out of the box. Oh my God, what an amateur hour this stream is. So here's the deal. Vulnerability management is unbelievably, it can be apathetic, right? You can reach apathy. And really quickly, the reason is if you work in an environment of any size, when you scan when you do the vulnerability scan, and you're like, okay, I see that there is 100,000 vulnerabilities. Like literally, that's not even that outrageous, okay? There's 100,000 vulnerabilities. What are we gonna do about it? Well, you can attempt to start patching them, right? And you'll always know who the new guy is or who the junior engineer is, because they're like, I'm gonna patch everything. I'm gonna patch it.
You gotta patch it.
Patch. And right, and hey, you know what? I love that enthusiasm. Get after it, youngin', go for it. But here's the deal. You get some wins, you get some rewards, you knock out 10,000 vulnerabilities and you got your chest all puffed out. And then a dump truck backs up that says Patch Tuesday on it. And you're just standing there and you're like, what is this dump truck doing? And then all of a sudden it's like, boop, boop, boop. And like the dump comes up and then it just unloads another 100,000 vulnerabilities on your head. And you're just like, oh, and then you start patching. And then quickly within 3 months time, you realize you are never going to dig out of this hole. It's brutal. And you're like losing political capital with application owners and server owners because they want to patch it, but at the same time, they're trying to do other stuff, new projects, whatever. And you're just like this like chirping thing in their ear about gotta patch it, right? So why do I tell you all this? Well, in order to like break apathy and actually drive cyber risk reduction for your stakeholders, this resource by CISA, the known vulnerability exploited vulnerabilities catalog, is where it's out. This is incredibly valuable because it allows you to inform the priority of what vulnerabilities you need to do. A vulnerability scanner can suggest a vulnerability level, but it doesn't know what your environment looks like. So you can use this catalog to basically identify ones that you need to get after because they're actively being exploited. And you can use this as ammunition when you go to your IT counterparts and say, listen, you need to shut this down. Or Carl stands up a JetBrains Team City server and you're like, Carl, shut it down. This isn't authorized. And he's like, why'd you make me? And then you're like, all right. So then you can go to management and be like, listen, this is a known exploited vulnerability. The US government is telling us it's being actively exploited. And Carl is over there being a jerk. Can you help me out? And then they just drop the ban hammer or the people's elbow or whatever you want to drop on Carl's head and get it done, right? So this is such an invaluable resource or such a valuable resource that only came together like a few years ago. Like this, back in my day when I had to walk uphill both ways to school, they didn't have this. You had to figure it out on your own. Let's go.
Over 225,000 compromised ChatGPT credentials for sale.
Uh-oh.
According to security firm Group IB, these logs, almost 250,000 of them, contain compromised ChatGPT credentials that were found inside information stealer logs associated with Luma C2, Raccoon, and Redline stealer malware. They were placed up for sale between January and October 2023. Writing in its most recent high-tech crime trends report, published just last week, Group IB correlates the sharp increase in the number of ChatGPT credentials for sale with the overall rise in the number of hosts infected with information stealers.
There you go. There you go. Surprise, surprise. More infected hosts with information stealers, more compromised credentials. Who would have guessed it? Like, obviously, that's what info stealers do. They steal information, including credentials. So there you go. I would point out, I've never heard of this Luma C2 info stealer. That's kind of crazy. Redline, for the longest time, was the darling of information stealers. Raccoon came on came on strong around the turn. But this Luma C2, look at this. This thing must be outrageously successful at infection. Combining Redline and Raccoon, of course, I don't know what the timeline is of this, by the way. 36% increase over what was observed during the first 5 months of 2023. So by the way, whenever you're looking at statistics or data points, you got to understand where the data came from and what the time frame was before you make assumptions. Okay, so this was first 5 months of 2023, which coincides with when I knew Redline was like a hot mess express. So it's just crazy that this Luma C2 is literally double Raccoon and Redline combined, right? So combining Redline and Raccoon and then doubling it, and now you're in Luma C2's world. For me personally, I would actually be interested in learning more about Luma C2. Here's a fun fact. If you're an active practitioner, right, you should be familiar with these malware variants right here. Now, I'm not saying you got to be a computer science nerd and decompile them and be like, well, I would have optimized the function call here. Like, you just have to be familiar, like, what it is, what it looks like, what their indicators of compromise are, how infection happens. Is your EDR tuned for these things? There's demonstrated statistics indicating that these are actively being deployed. Okay, so get on that. Personally, if you were so inclined, if things are slow at work, which really, when are they ever slow? But if things are slow at work, go. May I make a suggestion? Go to Malware Bazaar. Okay, let me show you what I would do if you had the time. Okay, go to Malware Bazaar. This is where I get my malware. This is where Threat Actor Academy gets its malware. Go to Malware Bazaar. Look up Luma C2, right? Because I never heard of this. Let me see. See, Luma C2 didn't even come up. All right, let's do Redline. Boy. Why is that not working, bro? Let me see. I don't know why it's not coming up, but anyways, let's do this really quickly. I'm going to look for Redline. Okay, so you can see here Redline and Remcos. You might even be able to get a nice, no raccoon there. All right, so anyways, you can download this Redline. I'm not going to do it live on stream, obviously, but you can download this Redline info stealer right here. And then put it on a lab machine in your environment, right? Make sure it's all protected, nice and sandboxed, right? Put your EDR solution on it and then detonate it, right? See, does your EDR solution catch it? I don't know. But if it doesn't, you might want to do some tuning, right? That's a really great opportunity to make sure that your organization is protected from infection of this. And then rinse and repeat on Raccoon and Luma C2. It's a bit of work, yeah? And you got to be careful or else, I mean, because you could Plaxico burst and shoot yourself in the leg, right? So you definitely want to be careful. But what my point is don't make an assumption that your EDR solution is going to successfully detect and prevent infection of these items. Finally, not to bury the headline, but if you are using ChatGPT and your credentials may have been compromised, obviously, make sure that you're not reusing passwords, obviously. Make sure you have MFA. I have a paid ChatGPT account, and I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure if I have multi-factor authentication on that account, because I don't know if they offer multi-factor authentication. Something for me to personally go check after the stream ends. I always enable MFA when possible, but for some reason I don't recall having MFA on this, which, MFA should be everywhere.
ESA took systems offline last month after Ivanti compromise. Back to CISA for a moment, the agency was itself a victim of the vulnerabilities found in Ivanti products that we reported on last month. A spokesperson for CISA stated, quote, the impact was limited to two systems which we immediately took offline. There is no operational impact at this time, end quote. CISA declined to answer questions about possible suspects and whether data had been accessed, but Recorded Future News states that according to a source with knowledge of the situation, the two systems compromised were, quote, the Infrastructure Protection Gateway, which houses critical information about the interdependency of U.S. infrastructure, and the Chemical Security Assessment Tool, which houses private sector chemical security plans, end quote. The record adds that CISA has declined to confirm or deny whether these are the systems that were taken offline.
Leave Jen alone! Leave Jen Easterly alone! Seriously, brah! All right. And if you don't know what this is a meme about leave Britney alone when Britney Spears was like devolving into a hot mess. All right, so CISA forced to take two systems down. Now, you know, the headline might be that CISA got breached or whatever, but as they mentioned in the story here, clearly they have compartmentalized and segmented out their different systems and environments. CISA is a massive agency, okay, under Department of Homeland Security. So they are not completely impacted. It's not like CISA's down and, you know, and threat actors are all up in it, okay? Next, they mention it's because of the Ivanti compromise or the Ivanti vulnerability not too long ago. If you guys remember, Ivanti was like the dumpster on fire floating down the river, right? Like Ivanti was a hot mess about 2 months ago with like, you know, you ever seen that video of like Joe Biden walking up the stairs to Air Force One and he like falls and catches himself and then falls again and then catches himself and then falls again? Like that's what Ivanti was doing. It was like Ivanti's VPN concentrator was impacted and then they like fixed it and like introduced a new bug and then other Ivanti technologies, their policy orchestration system got compromised. So Ivanti was a mess. CISA, you like, dude, if I'm not mistaken, CISA came out and set a deadline on when agencies using Ivanti needed to take it offline. Like it was like a Wednesday and they're like, by Friday, everyone needs to shut it off. I think it was for that and maybe for the screen connect. But anyways, I digress. The point is, two systems taken offline. It just shows even the, you know, even the top defenders of the federal government, you know, are, you know, vulnerable. And by the way, guys, this is why I say, again, no one's going to take this flag and run with it, but we are working in cyber resiliency. It's cute. We call it cybersecurity. We're spring's children if we think that we're going to secure things. What we're trying to do is ensure resiliency from, you know, impact, right? We can try to secure things, but it's more about resiliency, business continuity, et cetera. CISA is basically going to execute their incident response, contain the problem, understand what the impact was, eradicate the issue, recover to known good, and we're back up and running full tilt, okay? If I had to guess, even though this is CISA, because it was the Ivanti issue, if I had to guess, this was not a nation state threat level attack. This was not Cozy Bear, you know, penetrating our federal government. This was, you know, I think it was, I want to say it was like maybe Chinese based threat actors, but it basically, if I had to guess, it was cyber criminal gangs that were compromising this this instance, and they just happen to catch CISA. Remember, when you're just spraying and praying with an exploit, you're going to catch all sorts of like things in your fishing net, right? You're going to catch tuna and flounders and one big A marlin. Sorry, kind of sorry, Kennedy. Okay, let's keep going.
And now a word from our sponsor, Vanta. From dozens of spreadsheets and screenshots to fragmented tools and manual security reviews, managing the requirements for modern compliance and security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta is the leading trust management platform that helps you centralize your efforts to establish trust and enable growth across your organization. Over 6,000 companies partner with Vanta to automate compliance, strengthen security posture, streamline security reviews, and reduce third-party risk. To learn more, go to vanta.com/CISO and watch their 3-minute product demo. That's vanta.com/CISO.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having an awesome stream. I certainly am. Love it, love it, love it. If you're getting value from the stream, do me a favor. Hit that like button right now on YouTube. It goes a long way to helping others find the stream. I don't know if we had any first timers, but welcome to the party, pal. Will Reed, smashing the like button as always. Will Reed, great to see you. Guys, thanks to the stream sponsors for enabling me to pursue what is inarguably a dream job to be able to get up here and hang out with all of you every single weekday morning and just like live cybersecurity. It's the absolute bomb.com. Shout out Barricade Cyber, Panopsi Security, and Anti-Siphon Training, guys. Anti-Siphon Training is disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of financial position. Take advantage of their programs where you can learn skills, practice what is taught, and engage with the community in a fun and inclusive way. Their community is our community. I'm literally wearing a Black Hills shirt right now, coincidentally, not because of the sponsorship. Love what they're doing. Anti-Siphon Training is the training arm of Black Hills InfoSec. Guys, couple things. One, go to antisiphontraining.com and check out what they have coming up. They have pay what you can training. Two things. One, next week, right here, John Strand is teaching. John Strand's awesome. He's teaching a 4-day getting started in cyber with Black Hills and MITRE ATT&CK. If you don't know what MITRE ATT&CK is, come take this class if you have time, okay? You're going to love it. The class is going to boil down the top 11 things every org should do to protect themselves. This is resume. Like, you're going to be able to bump up your resume. You're going to feel more confident. You're going to be able to engage with people. It's awesome. Also, they are hosting the most offensive con that ever offensive bypass edition this Wednesday, guys. You can see right here on the channel. This is definitely happening this Wednesday. I don't feel like enough people are talking about this. I will be there for part of the conference. Come check it out. It's a free conference, guys. If you like Simply CyberCon, you're going to love this. Believe me, okay? Thanks, Anti-Siphon Training, for what you do. All about good times. I will be there at this conference. I hope you can make it too. Take advantage of it. Dude, when I say take advantage of all the free stuff, this is like gold in the free bin, okay? If you ever like digging through DVDs in like the dollar bin and all of a sudden like Die Hard's in there and you're like, what? Yes, I'll take that. Okay, get on it. All right, guys. Want to tell everybody about the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Guys, the Simply Cyber Community Challenge is straight up awesome. If you're looking to max out your LinkedIn feed, ask Justin Hooligan in chat right now. See what's up. Is at Justin Hooligan in chat, Justin? Justin Hooligan is not in chat, but guys, here's the deal. Go on LinkedIn, search for this hashtag you see at the bottom of the screen, Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Connect with the people who are posting. Connect with the people in the comments. Add a comment yourself, which will mean the next person who comes through and connects with people in the comments will connect with you. You, in 5 minutes a day, for 2 weeks, you will blow up your professional network and your LinkedIn feed will be way more interesting. Believe me, all right? If you want the baton, if you want to be the person who shares your story, do me a favor, raise your hand in chat right now. Don't be shy. It's not scary. It's not hard. Take the Simply Cyber Community Challenge baton. First one to say they want it, grab it up, and we'll do it. All right, hey, every single day of the week has a special segment, and Mondays are the Simply Cyber Community featured community member, and I like to call out one person from the community. I don't think that I have recognized him yet. If I did, I'm sorry. for duplicating. But guys, I want to introduce you all to James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet right here. Come on. This is James McQuiggan. This guy brings the heat every single Friday with dad jokes. I've known him for a few years. I consider him a close personal friend. He's always in chat. He comes in waves. Sometimes he's like super busy and not around. Sometimes he's always around. He's a huge advocate. He's a huge supporter of individuals. Apparently LinkedIn says he's a top information security voice as well. I love myself some James McQuiggan. So if you see him at a conference, give him a high five. If you see him online, give him a emote. James McQuiggan, everybody. None, N-O-N-E, wants the baton. N-O-N-E gets the baton. N-O-N-E, welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, pal.
All right, guys, let's get back to the news, shall we?
Play ransomware attack leaked 65,000 Swiss government documents. This is according to a report from the National Cybersecurity Center of Switzerland following its analysis of a ransomware attack on the Swiss technology and software solutions provider Xplain that occurred last May. And Xplain is spelt X-P-L-A-I-N. The Play ransomware gang published the stolen data in June. In a statement released Thursday, the Swiss government confirmed that 65,000 out of the 1.3 million files published by Play were relevant to the federal administration departments, including Justice and Police, Migration, and the Internal IT Service Center, and to a lesser extent, Defense, Civil Protection, and Sport. Around 5,000 documents contained PII, classified information, account passwords, IT system documentation, and software or architectural data.
All right. Well, hey, this sucks for the Swiss, but you know what? I definitely appreciate what this company did, though. So this company called Xplain, and by the way, all right, hold on. Play Ransomware, who I haven't heard of recently, like Play Ransomware has been around, but I haven't heard of them in a while. You could see this is the official breach report from Xplain, the company that provides security to a bunch of people, including the Swiss government, looks like, got breached. And, you know, they basically had a bunch of Swiss information. This is a classic ransomware extortion techniques, right? They weren't going, I mean, it's highly probable they weren't going after the Swiss government, right? Like, it's not like they were like, oh yeah, let's get some Swiss chocolate and Swiss miss and get this Swiss government data. No, they were just like popping boxes and seeing what they got. And they got a bunch of 95% of the files that they did steal have to do with the Federal Department of Justice and Police in Switzerland. So that is really interesting. Hopefully it doesn't result in any type of having any court cases thrown out that, you know, were like slam dunks. I don't know if the Swiss government's actually going to pay to get the data back. There's no, I mean, as we saw with Lockbit, the Lockbit ransomware gang, they said that they would delete files and they were not actually deleting the files. So you have no like assurance that they're actually going to delete those files. So what I would say is, this is a really good example of like, basically when you get breached, owning up to it. I feel like a lot of companies in the United States, like this is such like a European thing to do. A lot of companies in the United States, like, they'll actively be breached. Okay. And threat actors will be actively publishing on public websites the data that they breached. Right. And the company will still be like, we're investigating internally to determine what has happened. That is all. Like, it's like, bro, everybody knows that you've been breached. I get that you don't want to say the word breach and kick off a bunch of workflows, but like, let's also not be stupid. We're not children here. Like, you definitely are down. You're definitely not working. The threat actors definitely got your data. You definitely have a ransom note on your desktop. Stop playing games and let's get going. So I appreciate that Xplain came out and not just owned it, because it's not about, dude, here's the thing with companies getting breached. It's not about finger pointing and like finger wagging, like, oh, like get the shame bell and be like, shame. It's more like, all right, guys, like there's a problem. What is it? Let's address it. Let's go forward. Let's do it, right? It's like when someone says, Jerry, do you want good news or bad news first? It's like, give me the bad news so we can handle it. That way I can enjoy the good news. I'm not going to stick my head in the sand and be like, give me the good news. You're right. Okay.
By an investigating reports of data breach. The card payment solutions provider and integrated payment processor has confirmed it is investigating reports of a data breach involving consumer information. This comes after a cybercriminal forum user claimed to have stolen more than 1.2 million records, allegedly containing the full names of customers, addresses, dates of birth, phone numbers, and account balances. The hacker claims that the breach occurred on Wednesday.
All right.
Data broker.
Really quickly, hey, everybody, do me a favor. Gavin L., hashtag first timer.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, Gavin. I feel like now that I've seen B-Sec's loadout for his stream with Welcome to the Party, Pal, I feel like what I'm doing is so Bush League. But for what it's worth right now, welcome to the party, Pal. All right, guys. Hey, PaySign investigating reports of consumer breach. Okay, so some company, financial services company, got hit and they're letting people know. This is a classic tire fire, run-of-the-mill, your security and privacy is important to us. Please enjoy your 2 years of identity theft protection. See you later. I hope you don't leave our company. I've never heard of PaySign. I don't know who uses it. They're a publicly traded company. And they brought in $12 million of revenue last quarter, which, by the way, not that $12 million isn't a lot. Like, $12 million is a lot of money, right, to me and you. But, like, as far as like a business goes, that's kind of a small business. B-Sec. All right. So you could see here, they hack Manic on X, AKA Twitter. I think I'm just going to keep calling it Twitter. Revealing that this data is breached. I do recommend you follow a couple people on Twitter that post these things. It's nice from a threat intel perspective. Also, little disappointed here that this isn't the anime Leet Hacksor anime profile picture, if you know what I'm talking about. But whatever. This is, I don't want to say this is a nothing story, because if you worked at PaySign, you're having a really crappy day, right? Like, if you're walking funny, it's because you got two dozen, you know, executives up your butt wanting to know what are you doing? Why did we get breached? Bah! But like, that's what's up. But This is basically run of the mill. Although I will say, shout out to CISO Series for providing a cybersecurity story. Whoever picked the stories for today, good on you.
Disclose selling reproductive healthcare information and data belonging to minors. New disclosures required under California's DELETE Act show that, quote, of 480 data brokers registered with the California Privacy Protection Agency, 24 of these indicated they sell data belonging to minors. 79 brokers sell precise geolocation, and 25 of them sell reproductive health information, end quote. Justin Sherman, an expert on data brokers, pointed out, after expressing shock over these numbers, that, quote, the federal law known as COPPA, C-O-P-P-A, which regulates children's privacy, does not currently prevent companies from selling data about children, end quote.
I don't drop F-bombs very often, publicly. If you've talked to me personally, you may argue that. But this is an absolute... You, seriously, data brokers, this is, okay, so check it out. Capitalism is a fine model, okay? Like, I'm a big advocate of capitalism, but it is not righteous, okay? Capitalism does have a seedy underbelly. Capitalism does have some downsides to it, and this is one of them. Data brokers, man, welcome to the future today. Data is the new gold. I've been saying it long before Matthew McConaughey was saying it. Data is the new gold, and data has so much value. And data brokers know this. Obviously, go watch John Oliver's Last Week Tonight on data brokers. I always mention that. Let me just pull it up really quickly. This episode is unbelievably informative and interesting. If you don't know what a data broker is and you don't know if you don't know what data brokers are or how unbelievable that industry is, go watch this 30-minute video. Believe me, you'll thank me afterwards. Okay. So they have sorry. Thanks, Rex. Exactly.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Rex with a super chat. Thank you. So they're selling reproductive health care info. Awesome. We've all heard the stories of, basically a teenager, parents don't know she's pregnant. And then all of a sudden, here comes the formula. Here comes the free diapers. Here comes the questions from mom and dad on what the hell is going on. Okay. Also, not to get too Roe versus Wade into this, because this isn't a political show, but that information, right? If, you know, like Planned Parenting, abortion, where you're going, like to leave the state to do things, right? Serious consequences, right? On top of all of that, what about the person who's pregnant that loses the baby and then now is getting formula and, you know, reminded daily that they were pregnant, okay? That's gross. Now, on top of all that, precise geolocation data. Welcome to surveillance capitalism. That's what this is. Dude, your phone, your iPhone, if you didn't know this, I can't speak to Android, but your iPhone, it can capture precision location to like 4 decimal points, like within like a meter of where you are, and everybody has their phone on them. So it's not just precise location for a point in time. You can pin, so you can follow where someone's going, track minors, right? Track children, which is great if you're the parent of the child, but not so great if you're a predator, which, as Chris Hansen has wonderfully demonstrated, there's a bunch of them, right? So this is deplorable. And I want to say, like, I'm almost confused. Like, why did the data brokers disclose it? It's absolutely not in their financial interest to disclose this. It's a bad look, right? So obviously something happened. They had to have been, okay, thank you. Way to go, California. California, by the way, like leads the country on like privacy regulations. Maine, also pretty good at privacy regulations. Because of legislation in California, these data brokers had to come out and admit that they were doing this. Only because they had to did they disclose this. Again, there's a perverse incentive here for them not to disclose it. Why would they? Oh, data brokers, man, you suck. I get it. Oh, marketing, I can target my market. I can do precision advertising. Ugh. But you can also do all sorts of nasty, bad stuff too. Gosh, man, the children, what the hell? And I don't care, like if you're not a parent, like you still have to like have a heart, man. I don't know.
And now, last week in ransomware. Last week was dominated by the did they or didn't they demise of Alf V Black Cat, which pretty much every major security organization has denied any involvement in and which most experts see as an exit scam. Also last week, the Canadian city of Hamilton, Ontario announced that it continues to recover from a cyber attack that closed or at least slowed many of its services. It has not stated whether this was a ransomware attack, but news outlets, including the national broadcaster CBC, are covering it as such. Change Healthcare confirmed last week that Alf V Black Cat was behind its attack, and in other news, the Stormus ransomware gang attacked the Duvel, a Belgian beer company, which stopped production. But spokespeople for the company assured a worried public that they had, quote, more than enough beer still in stock.
Yeah, again, as I said last week when the Duvel story dropped, if you're into Duvel beer, you know, awesome, let's get one in Vegas. But the impact isn't immediate, right? Like if Lego got compromised by a ransomware threat actor, the Legos on the store shelves don't disappear. The impact isn't felt today. It's like an air bubble in a hose. It's not like if you introduce an air bubble in a hose, like all of a sudden the water stops coming out the hose. No, it's when the air bubble gets to where it drops out, that's when you would see the impact. Same thing with Duvel. Today, Duvel is fine. Talk to me in, you know, 3 or 4 months when Duvel has a bit of a shortage. That's what's up. That's what happens with manufacturing. Rex with the super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Hey, precise location data aggregation is part of how Google provides real-time traffic information. Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, there are benefits to that type of tracking, but obviously, like anything else, there's, you know, in the wrong hands. It's the same reason why people are so reluctant to give law enforcement magic back doors into technology. Okay. It's great to help root out criminals and, you know, predators. But also, if you're law enforcement and you're swiping right on Tinder and you want to go investigate who your date is tonight, or you're really into someone who's not into you and you tap into the surveillance infrastructure so you can track them, that's where it gets a little dangerous. Also, they mention, whoever wrote this article, shout out for like the old reference to DarkSide. Love that. Okay, so anyways, the ransomware roundup. Bleeping Computer does this on the regular. They basically do a roundup every week of known ransomware incidents. So just dig through this. This is the bargain bin at the front of the store. Find one that works for your audience, one that works for your industry, one that works for your country, like whatever it is. Giddy up on it. Have it ready. And also shout out, I 100% agree with this. As I've said before, Black Donkey or Flaming Dark Donkey, whatever it is, the new threat actor group name, Black Cat Alfie says that they disbanded with their $22 million. We'll see them after they get all hammered on spring break and come back with, a hangover, like they were at a bonfire last night. And a little bit of regret and needing some cashish to pay for their new, hobbies or whatever.
Great cash, homie.
They'll rebrand under a new name. We'll all high five each other because we were in the know, and then we'll get back to work. Okay.
Have you ever wondered what role cybersecurity should have in sales?
All right, everybody. If you were here just for the news, well, guess what? We're done. It was awesome. Great work, everybody. Straight up killing it out here, crushing it. Remember, every single weekday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern time, we're going live. We're out here just putting it together. Reminder, this week on Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., we've got Two Cyber Chicks Season 4, Episode 3 dropping. Hopefully, my NIST CSF 2.0 video is dropping. I'm really a little bit perturbed with the editor's turnaround time. So look for the NIST CSF 2.0 video coming out. That should be coming out pretty soon. And other than that, one final thing before you go, if you're interested in this resource that I put together, I'm actually going to be going wide on LinkedIn later today about this resource. But if you're really anyone, but if you're a career pivoter, this cheat sheet is full of resources and a video with me explaining how to use each resource, because that's always a missing piece that people who get these lists don't know what to do when they click on something. They're like, okay, like, you know, like just as an example, like, okay, here's a link. What do I do with this? Like, what's the value? How do I engage with this, Jerry? That's what this document does. So if you're interested in the document, go to simplycyber.io/pivot. And this is what it looks like. Just put your email address in here and I will email you that cheat sheet and you'll be off and running, high fives all around the board. All right, guys. That's going to do it for today's stream. If you want to hang out, we have a segment called Jawjacking, which is an AMA that's about to go down in a hot minute to the 400 of you that are here. Have a great Monday morning. Thank you so much. I'm Jerry. Until next time, stay secure. Hey, everybody. What's up? Welcome to the party. This is Jawjacking with Jerry Guy. I'm your host, coming hot off the heels of Dr. Gerald Dozier's Daily Cyber Threat Brief. And what we're going to be doing over the next 30 minutes is just answering questions, engaging with the community, high-fiving each other virtually. We always have a little bit of fun here. Genuinely appreciate all of you. Thank you. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I certainly did. Played some Fortnite with my kids. Had some delicious beer. Cooked a steak last night. Ooh. Really, digging out from all the work that's been going on. It's spring break. It's spring break at the Citadel, so no teaching this week. I do have to check with Eric Taylor and BSEC if they're going to be doing the jawjacking on Tuesday, Thursday like they do. It is March 11th. Take care, Jenny Housley. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, Jenny Housley. If you're a squad member, please drop a little mod love. Where's my mod love? Mod love, mod love. Chris Young with the reminders. Thank you, Chris. All right, so stream upgrades, DJ BSEC and the SC team. Here's the deal. I run my stream through Streamlabs O desktop, which is like basically old school Streamlabs OBS. DJ BSEC is a master of the OBS, and he has, if you guys have been seeing his jawjacking, you know how slick it is. He's got like, you know, like transitions where things like whoop, whoop, and he's got like, it's just way cooler. And I'm one who always likes to level up the situation. And while this is cool, BSEC is setting a new level. Eric Taylor over at Barricade is also taking note, and he's been working on getting his OBS stream cleaned up. So I'm hoping in the next couple weeks here, the overall look and feel of the stream is a little more engaging, a little more interesting, a little more Twitch-like, if you will. And that's going to be coming from BSEC. Guys, I also want to share with you, I feel like this went under the radar. Maybe it's just me, but this conference this Wednesday, guys, definitely check it out. If you have the availability, I'd almost recommend you register for it anyways and take advantage of it. You can see they've got some paid training in here as well. You do not have to pay to go to the conference, just the training. All right. Careful if you do the CTF. I personally try to avoid CTFs only because I have an addictive personality. And if I start a CTF, it'll just consume me. Yesterday, Michelle Kahn on LinkedIn posted an OSINT challenge, and it basically, it took me over for like 2.5 hours. I had to DM Michelle on Signal and say, please release, like literally I wrote, please release me from this burden. Tell me the answer to this challenge so I can move on with my day. It was a good one though. Holy crap. So I'm just hearing this right now. Eric Taylor will be co-hosting. What? Eric Taylor will be co-hosting this conference, the most offensive con that ever offensived. Not throwing shade, but the most offensive con that ever offensive. Seems like a natural fit for my friend Eric Taylor. I play, Eric. But it is funny. Live Beats Labs, Andy McPherson says, you have such a great team around you. I have 1,000% agree with you. I am very fortunate that the Simply Cyber community is composed of so many wonderful people, and people like BSEC, Basecase, Joel, Aaron, Josh Mason, Jenny Housley, Stefan, Justin Gold, Casually Joseph, Jesse Johnson, Kimberly Can Fix It, and more are willing to contribute and help with the community. I definitely couldn't do it alone. Evan Bodie says, can I have a link to request for the cheat sheet? Yes, Evan Bodie. Oh, Eben. I'm sorry, Eben Bodie. It's simply here. I'm going to type it in chat. Okay. It's simplycyber.io/pivot. Simplycyber.io/pivot. All right. Look at all the mod love. Mods, you guys, look at all this love you're getting. I love it. Joshua Gillum says he passed the Sands GAC G pick yesterday. His fifth GAC cert. How many certs do I need to start applying? That's funny. Congratulations on your getting the cert, though. That's definitely worth recognizing. Zach Morrison taking the SEC Plus on Wednesday. Yeah, Zach, as far as recommendations, I will tell this for not just SEC Plus, but for any certification exam, my strategy personally, and if you have a strategy, definitely hold on 1 second, CUDA Chimera. CUDA, we did not change the stream. It's definitely always at 8 a.m. Eastern time. Oh, you know what, CUDA Chimera? Daylight savings time happened over the weekend, so it's possible that where you are, the time didn't change. Okay, so anyways, Zach Morrison, taking the cert exam, and anyone taking a cert exam, what I like to do is I like to take a practice exam, see where I score, and then study, take a practice exam, see where I score. And then usually most certs are broken into like domains, right? So there'll be like five areas and they'll say what percentage they're going to ask each area. So I like to take a practice exam, but identify each area where I score. And if I need, say I need a 70 to pass the exam, I want to get a 90 on all areas. So typically what will happen is I'll get a 90 on, say, three of the five areas. And then two areas, one area I get an 80 and one area I get like a 40, right? Well, then I'm only going to focus all my effort on that area where I got the 40 and bring that up. So it's about time management. And then once I get 90s across the board, I just go sit for the exam. Okay. Giovanni Gonzalez says, where do I get my merch? I use simplycyber.io/merch. I use a company called, check it out. Spreadshop. I use a company called Spreadshop. Also, I don't control when the discounts happen, but right now, apparently 20% off everything in the store. So if you want to get some Simply Cyber merch, now's the time to get it. 20% is the biggest discount that the shop ever has. Only 2 days left on the shop. I have to pay for it too. I might actually get some gear. You can see we've got all sorts of things, the hats, the stickers, we got the new Team SC logo going on here, the baseball shirt. If you're a Joe Hudson fan, all about good times. Also, since I see my friend Deb Wigley in chat, I want to share this with everybody. So if you go to simplycyber.io/merch, that's my merch store. If you go to, spearfish-general-store.myshopify.com. If you Google Black Hills Spearfish, you'll find it, but this is their merch. And you can see the shirt I'm currently wearing right here is that one right there. I've got pretty much, I have almost all of these shirts. This one's super dope. This is my current favorite one right here. This one is so nice. And like the quality that they, the quality of the shirt is wicked, wicked nice. I have this one right here, but my nipples pop out on this one, and I got a lot of like harassment about it when I wore that shirt on stream, so I won't be wearing that one on stream anymore. But and by the way, if you have this hoodie right here, this hoodie is $45. It's worth every penny. This is the most comfortable zip-up hoodie ever. Oh, I love this hoodie. This hoodie's so good. Oh, it's so good. Chris Whitlock, can you DM me the bingo card, please? I want to show it off to everybody. Looking at chat really quickly. Not a Deep Fake says, any advice for someone who got a felony for possessing drugs trying to get into the industry? I have another 2 years before it, but it has been a big barrier. Offers at places as soon as it's gone. I don't understand. I kind of am confused. So, like, I'm wondering if you're saying in 2 years you're going to get your record expunged and you won't have to admit having a felony. Dude, a felony's tough. A felony is really, really tough. The only thing I would say, not a deep fake, is yes, your hill that you're going to have to climb is a lot steeper and a lot more difficult. But what I would say is, if I had a felony, I would work my A off to network within the community, go to as many conferences as you can, volunteer as much as you can, contribute to, you know, YouTube or LinkedIn or whatever, like get your name out there. Like, so for example, not a deep fake. I know it's not easy to do and it's not something you can be like, and like all of a sudden you've got a job. But if you do all those things, like obviously I'm self-employed now, but my last two jobs when I worked for someone, they just called me on the phone basically and was like, hey, what will it take for you to come work with me? I didn't even do like background checks and stuff. Not that I was hiding anything, but my point is, if you can get to the point where they're like, hey, we need your help. Can you come help us? And you're like, all right, but just so you know, I had a felony for like cocaine or something, you know, a while ago. Like I can explain it, but I'm not using drugs, like I, you know, or whatever. Like you, like if they know who you are, you can get past that stigma of what your past was, right? I mean, Kevin Mitnick would be, you know, kind of a bit of a cherry-picked example, but Kevin Mitnick was a felon, you know, and Robert Morris wrote the first worm. He got expelled from MIT, right? So, all right, so check it out, guys. Hey, I want to share something really cool with you guys. Check this out. Next week, or this Friday, we're going to be doing bingo this Friday. So just, this is for Simply Cyber. Hey, there's 311 people in chat right now. 311. Welcome to this groove. You can move, right? So check it out. Jerry guy here in the Simply Cyber bingo. Everyone's going to get a unique card themselves. And on Friday, as the stream's going, if I say,
welcome to the party, pal,
you can check that box off. If I say,
great cash, homie.
Right? Boom. You mark the box off, right? So we can play bingo and like Discord's on screen. Done. Deb Wiggly. I mentioned Deb Wiggly. We have a Deb Wiggly on the bingo card, right? So anyways, we're going to be able to play bingo and it's going to be fun. We haven't figured out prizes yet. And it's really an honesty thing because we can't validate that someone's not cheated. But we're going to introduce this out on Fridays. We're going to roll this out. Jerry gets spicy, right?
Spicy!
All right, so stay tuned for that. There's more to follow soon. And that's a shout-out to Chris Whitlock and Chris Young for their efforts with the bingo card. I'm super excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, Carrie, we're not doing the bingo right now. The bingo is on Friday. I'm just teasing it now so everybody knows what's going on when we do it on Friday. Okay? All right. How's everyone else doing? Is Zach Hill in chat? Zach's always like giving me a hard time if I'm not wearing merch. I do want to say hi to Deb Wiggly in chat. Give her a little wave. Good to see you, Deb. Who's going? Hey, actually, this is a fun question. Who's going to the con? Who is going to the offensive con? The offensive con is this con right here. I'm just curious who's going. I'm going. Can I vote? Can I vote? I can't vote. Boo. I can't vote. But anyways, yeah, this con right here, this Wednesday, 11 to 4. It's going to be super dope. And it's co-hosted by Eric Taylor. Nice. Jesse Johnson's going to be at the con. Hey, for those who are studying for Security Plus, I want to remind everybody that every Thursday, I know they do it on Monday too, but I'm not 100% sure if the Monday is for Security Plus, but every Thursday, Jesse Johnson, aka the Cosmic Cowboy, is doing Security Plus, Slay Security Plus. Slay Security Plus is awesome. It's basically people getting together to study Security Plus questions, but check it out. Jesse runs like a live like training that you can play along with, right? Like there's like a QR code. It's like Kahoot. You can go, you can vote, you can play the games. I would love to do this. Like this is cool and I want to do more of it, but I haven't figured out a way to integrate it into Simply Cyber streams and stuff like that, but it's going to be super cool. All right, what else we got? Any questions? Anything? I do want to apologize for yelling into the microphone. Every once in a while, I get comments on YouTube asking me why am I yelling. It's because I'm passionate. I'm passionate. That's why I'm yelling. Let's see. Kahoots are awesome. Yeah. Danny B. Hey, Danny B on LinkedIn. Danny B on LinkedIn. Can I just ask you, Danny B, did you get notified that we were live or did you find us live? I believe I've had multiple people reach out to me and say that LinkedIn is not notifying them that I've gone live. And I'm investigating that right now. But I was kind of curious what other people are experiencing on LinkedIn. Danny B just passed the net plus. Nice. The con is digital, J.E. and Michelle, I believe. Someone said, great question, Carrie. Where's Carrie's question? Where do you access the bingo card for Friday? I was asking about that. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to have to put this in a mod chat, a Nightbot thing for exclamation point bingo, but Carrie, Carrie and everybody else, here's where the bingo card is. All right. Yeah, I dropped it right now, but like, you're gonna want to do it on Fridays. Ross got notified today for the first time. Ross with the blue badge. All right, thank you, Danny B. Thank you, Mark Lemeron. Yeah, I'm going to message LinkedIn. I don't know how to message LinkedIn, but first time not notified. Yeah, we're going to have to get into it with LinkedIn and figure out what's up with that. Because we can't have people not getting notified. That's why they hit the bell, right? Can't have people missing out on community. All right, it's at 9:15. Let me just drop a quick little video. Actually, you know what? Yeah, let's do this really quickly. I'll come back and answer questions. One sec. To pivot your career into something more secure and exciting? Hi, I'm Dr. Gerald Osier, and I'm here to guide you into the world of cybersecurity. Now, whether you're 25 or 45, switching careers can be intimidating and challenging, especially into cybersecurity, which has an overwhelming amount of roles and disciplines. Now, based on my 20 years of industry experience and years of teaching at Citadel Military College, I've designed and built Cybersecurity 101 to be your one-stop launchpad to new beginnings. Cybersecurity 101 offers over 22 hours of video content, 100-plus lessons, 12 hands-on labs, all starting from the basics. So whether you have IT experience or not, I've got you covered. This course was designed as a comprehensive college-level curriculum and should take about 3 months to complete at 4 hours a week. Try it out and see for yourself. I've made some of the lectures and labs available to access without paying anything so you can see what's going on. Take the first step towards your new career. Visit simplycyber.io/cyber101 to learn more and enroll in Cybersecurity 101. Your future in cybersecurity starts today. Welcome back. Also, I noticed in that video, I'm wearing the Malware Finds a Way Black Hills Information Security shirt. Literally, I think if I didn't have Black Hills merch, I would be topless. I'd be at the beach. Almost all my clothes are Black Hills. All right, so I'm going to close the vote here. It looks like the community, only half of us are going to the conference on Wednesday. Very interesting. Good to see y'all. All right. David Stewart, Monday's good. Monday's good, y'all. All right, so what else is cracking? Oh, hey, this is kind of fun. B-Sides Charleston organizers reached out to me over the weekend. The B-Sides Charleston is going to be November 1st and 2nd of 2024. If you're interested in that, it will be downtown Charleston, which is super cool. At a new venue, I'm not going to spoil the announcement, but at a new, very cool venue. And they asked if I wanted to be involved or if the Simply Cyber community wanted to be involved. Guys, I don't want to make a promise, but Simply CyberCon does fall around that same time. This could be like a DEF CON Black Hat type thing where we butt them up to each other. I didn't think we could handle Simply CyberCon in person this year. But I mean, if we have a venue, maybe, I don't know. No promises. But look for more information on that. But Simply CyberCon's absolutely going down this year. No, it's not my backyard, I promise you that. Like we fit 50 people in the studio. Ooh, it's warm in here. It is warm in here. Oh my God. Unnamed agency, undisclosed location. I don't know which con you're talking about. The offensive Black Hills Anti-Siphon Con is virtual. Simply CyberCon is going to be virtual, potentially in person. And B-Sides Charleston is in Charleston, South Carolina. Cybertron coming back. Yeah. Jose T'Challa says, good morning. Where to find a practice exam to pass my GRC? What GRC are you talking about? And then I might be able to help you with an practice exam. Oh, hey, Armel Femnu, Jesse Johnson, Armel Femnu is looking for the SlaySec URL. Divine Dream Divine, what's up, Triple D? I can't take credit for that, but someone did say Triple D. Deb Wiggly, yeah, Deb Wiggly could show up in person. Guys, I got to tell you, I didn't think we'd be able to pull off Simply CyberCon at all the first time, and we crushed it. In my mind, it's like overwhelming to have an in-person con, but who knows? Maybe we do that and crush it. Many of you don't even know this. At one point, I didn't even think I could handle a Discord server. what a dope I was. Thank you again, Stefan Waldvogel, for pushing me over the over the cliff. All right, let me get some chapstick. All right. John Brock asking for a CISSP practice exam. I mean, I would just Google it, honestly. Let me see. Let's see. I Googled it. Looks like the first result is an ISC squared. Here's a begin button. There we go. I think this is probably your best bet. There you go. CISSP practice exam. Done. All right. Synodos Amaha says, what would you suggest if I want to build a local GRC app solution? Well, Synodos, if you're going to build a local GRC app solution, I guess like any other software development, I mean, you'd want to identify what your requirements are first and figure that out. And then, you know, don't try to overcomplicate it. I would caution you, though, like, building your own homegrown solution sounds cool because it's typically just your time, Typically, it's, you know, very bespoke and personalized for your organization's needs and stuff. But you're introducing something that's not going to be maintained, something that will introduce exposure later on, and something that potentially may not be able to be disentangled from the environment. Like, I have seen so many, like, this is going to, like, horrify people, right? Like, I've seen so many Access database custom applications at large businesses that whoever wrote it, they went away, and people don't even know how it works anymore. I saw one solution. This will really scare the crap out of you. I saw one solution where it was executing under the permissions of someone's account that was, and it was a local account, and the person had died and they didn't know the credentials, and they were like terrified of rebooting the system or shutting it down or like doing anything with it because they were terrified of not being able to kick it off again. So just, you know, kind of be careful with that. System blower, what's your favorite racial demographic? I don't even know how to answer that. So anyways, as far as a GRC solution goes, I mean, honestly, you could leverage existing things like SharePoint is pretty good. You can do SharePoint to host your policies, to host your security awareness learning, kind of a central repo, forms for people to fill out if they want to like get access to remote solutions or enable people to like request, like firewall rule changes and stuff like that. What else we got? All right. Hey, system blower. Come on. Let's keep it on brand, bud. All right. What other questions we got? Zach Morrison recently became an active member of the Raleigh-ISA group. If you are in the triangle, the research triangle, right? The Raleigh-Durham Cary triangle, not Cary from Texas, but Cary, North Carolina. Connect with Zach Morrison. I don't think we have a Raleigh Triangle Simply Cyber Community Local Meetups channel, but if we did, Zach Morrison, you could engage with people there. I gotta tell you, I am hungry, 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 hungry. Been playing. Oh, is Deb Wiggly still here? Deb Wiggly still here? She is. So I've been thinking about it, and like I was like, oh, this is just gonna be a this is just an idea. But now I'm like all but certain I'm gonna do it. Okay. If you're going to Wild West Hackenfest, which I strongly encourage you do, it's so awesome. Look at Wild West Hackenfest. Let's see, like they only have so many, this isn't to like scare you, obviously, but there's only so many tickets they can sell for, like fire safety purposes. Let me see. I want to see how many tickets do they have left? Whoo! Oh wait, no, that's the steak dinner. For a second, I thought there was only 39 seats left. I was like, oh my gosh. Hold on. Oh, here we go. There's only 436 tickets remaining, okay? I know the conference isn't till October, but two things. One, this is the best conference I've ever been to. Two, I'm keynoting this year. Bro, yeah. It's going to be epic. And then finally, if you're into this, you know, like this is totally unrelated to the conference, but me and Jesse Johnson, potentially, but definitely me, I will be organizing a informal Magic the Gathering arena tournament at the conference. Okay. And it'll be accessible to everybody. It'll be starter decks only. And it'll be like a little, bracket with like a single elimination bracket. And, you know, whoever wins it will be, you know, we'll have some type of prize or something. But anyways, if you're into Magic the Gathering Arena, which is the non-paper version, and you're going to be in Deadwood and you want a high five, let's do that. Oh, Toasty Pops is in chat. Local meetup group has an event tomorrow night at the SEC KC group meetup, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Free pizza. Come out and meet us. Hell yeah. Sorry, Kennedy. Guys, so check it out really quickly. Toasty Pops. Where is he? Toasty Pops. I'm going to bring this on right here. Toasty Pops is running the Simply Cyber Kansas City meetup. And you can see, look at it. This is the Kansas City one. If you are in the Kansas City area, congratulations on your Super Bowl win. And congratulations on hitting the lottery with Patrick Mahomes. But you can see they are very, very active. So if you're in that Kansas City area, whether you're traveling or you live there, don't be shy. Go sync up with them. I got to tell you really quickly, years ago, Base Case made Simply Cyber flags, and he sent me like five of them. And he's got one in his background hanging. I have one that I bring with me to conferences when we do the team photo. I'm sending one to Toasty Pops. He's absolutely crushing it as a community leader, ambassador, whatever you want to call it. Straight crushing it, Toasty Pops. So get in there. Yeah, Jay and Michelle. I've got a couple decks. Jay and Michelle. Hey, by the way, okay, so really quickly, if you are... I know, like, this is a cybersecurity show and everything, but, like, if you are in Magic the Gathering Arena, may I suggest, I'm going to do this right after the show ends as well. There is a game channel in here. Where is it? Games Lobby, right here. This Games Lobby? Whoops. Games Lobby. You could share Magic the Gathering Arena codes in here. I'm going to do this myself later. So Jay and Michelle, if you want to like friend me or whatever on Magic the Gathering Arena, we can totally do that. I eviscerated Jesse Johnson the other day. I'm being playful, Jesse. I'm being playful. All right, let's keep going. What do we got here? 9:28, couple more minutes, y'all. John Hoyt. John Hoyt is in chat. I love myself some John Hoyt. If you don't know John Hoyt, he's the CISO at Clemson, but he's a cybersecurity practitioner's cybersecurity practitioner. Dude's awesome. Came up forged in the fires of Mordor, SecOps. Is there some interest in a Houston channel? We could do that. All right, what else we got? Welcome to the party, Information Security with JR.
Welcome to the party, pal.
All right, hey, Toasty Pops, shouting out Travis Connor. Travis Connor for all his help with the Kansas City crew. Love it, love it, love it. Austin Fraley, I only play standard. Good morning. I finally made it to a live show and wanted to share that I'm starting my new job as an InfoSec officer today. Information Security with JR.
I came in like a
boom! Love it, love it, love it, dude. That is, I've got like, I don't know, 20 sound effects on my soundboard. That's my favorite one to play. I only play it when people bust into jobs, but I love playing it. It's such a good feeling when I play that sound effect. Congratulations, JR. Super pumped for you, man. Straight crush it, homie. A lot of smack talking going on here. a lot of smack talking going on here. Very cool. Also, I got a lot of speaking engagements coming up. Hey, real quick, I'll be in Phoenix next Monday and Tuesday, doing the show live from a hotel room with the mobile studio. So get ready for that. if you guys are newer here and you haven't seen me do a if you haven't seen me do a remote location daily threat briefing, you're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. I'll give you a sneak preview. Okay. This is me live on location. Live on location. It does go down. It does happen. It's usually comical at what's going on. So look for that this week. Robert Cooper, shout out to you. I'm going to be connecting with my man, Robert. He's going to be hooking me up with transportation. Big fan. Oh, I didn't know. Hey, Mr. Green Reads, thanks. I didn't know we had that emote in chat. This one doesn't get used enough. This is fine, dog. All right. Glory Nation's in Phoenix. Can't wait, Glory Nation. Hopefully it's nice weather there. I am soft now that I've lived in the South for too long. Like 58 degrees. I'm like, ooh, got to go grab a cardigan. All right. Looks like we're over time here. I'm going to get busy, get to work. Guys, I want to thank all of you for being here today. Thanks for the jaw jacking. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern time to go hard on a daily cyber threat brief again. I'm super pumped for you, JR. Seriously, you should be excited, man. It's such a exhilarating experience. All right, guys, I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Jerry Guy, excuse me. Not that nerd, Dr. Gerald Osher. Am I right? Nerd.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Have a great day, everyone. Go out there, crush it. Be well. Thank you for all that you do, mods. Thank you all, Simply Cyber community members, for all you do. Continue to be supportive. Continue to be inclusive. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Until next time, stay secure. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.